You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Dan Laxer in for Ken Connors. Across the table from me, Walter Assey of Renovco. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
How are you going to deal with the heat today?
Pool party.
What time should I be there?
Anytime you want. Starts actually right now.
Okay. But no one's, you're here, no one's there.
Well, doesn't matter. My door is always open, so.
Okay, fair enough.
I removed the lock and turn off the heater. Everything is good.
Excellent. We've already got a call in at 514-790-0800. The other numbers, 1-800-491-CJD, Star Talk on Bell Mobility. And a text came in last week that we want to answer. We were talking about grouting and epoxy. The question was, what was the name of the two very good bonding cements that Walter mentioned?
So, we do apologize we didn't get to it last time. We didn't have the time. But I remember we talked about the VersaBond as a brand. And Mappy as well does a lot of good epoxy products if he didn't want to shift away from the VersaBond. But VersaBond is a good product for that.
Okay, there you go. All right, why don't we start by going right to the calls and say good morning to Diane. Hi there, Diane.
Hi, good morning. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah.
I have a question. I have a pipe that's for an outdoor faucet that is leaking through the foundation, and I'd like to know if there's anything I can do to stop the leak from the outside. I've dug up. It is visible, but I don't know what to use. And it looks like it was somebody put the roof pitch in this hole to prevent it before, but it is leaking around there. So now I have to deal with the roof pitch, I'm assuming, also.
Hmm.
So let me get this straight. You have an exterior pipe?
Yeah, it goes through the foundation below ground level.
Okay, and that is also, so it's a hole that comes from the inside of the house through the foundation and vertically upwards, and that is leaking.
Well, it goes out horizontally.
Okay.
And it attaches to a ABS pipe or whatever for a watering system that they had outside.
Okay.
And it's leaking around where this pipe goes through the foundation outside below ground level.
Yeah, and that's exactly where you don't want it to be leaking.
100%.
Okay. I mean, do it just is that a copper pipe?
No, it's like an ABS type of piping.
Okay. I mean, technically speaking, you need to change the pipe, actually, if it's possible at all.
Okay.
If you can, close the valve. I'm hoping there's a valve there to close, right?
There is, yes.
Okay, yeah. So you close the pipe and, you know, your best bet, because it's ABS, not really complicated as much as it's copper and welding and what have you. There are bonding agent for ABS, but I mean, it's a cracked PVC, so I really don't know how long it's going to last. For sure, you should not someone else have used the pitch, so that doesn't really work on plastic as long. It will help for a while, but it's not going to adhere for it for a long time.
Temporarily until gets it replaced.
Correct. So it's just a bubblegum
solution. I think that's what happened, yes.
Yeah. So best case is you just remove that piece of pipe. And I don't know if you're going to have a plumber coming in. Maybe he can, you know, find a better way for this concoction, because it looks like it's a bit, Mickey Mouse putting it together on a Friday afternoon
exactly.
Kind of installation. So, yeah, if you can actually get it to be, because you don't want to be paying for plumbers all the time. And I don't like the fact that you have a plumbing pipe coming out of a foundation, and where it's coming out of that foundation, the water is leaking, because, you know, it's going to find its weakness some point and it's going to get back into the house.
Okay, so that's the only solution, really, is to do that rather than seal it?
I mean, you can seal it. There are bonding agents for PVC. I can't give you, like, brand names, but to be quite frank with you, in my opinion, it will be a bubble gum.
Yeah, so it's better to change the pipe.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. Depends how big the crack is. There's a lot of factors to look at. But, you know, I don't see how long it's going to last. Specifically, is that you're going to put some earth back there. And it's going to, you know, so it's always going to be something in contact with that pipe. So the stronger and the more complete and whole the pipe is, the better it is for you.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your information.
Good. We appreciate the call. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
514-7 I know. 0800 Star Talk on Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJAD. It's interesting when you find things that, you know, do-it-yourselfers who didn't really know what they were doing tried as a, you know, let's just put pitch on the pipe. It'll be fine. And I remember in a house I lived in about 20 years ago, we had a water leak. We brought a plumber in. It was behind our washer. And as soon as we moved the machine, the guy starts to swear. And I said, what's the problem? He said, look at that pipe. It's two pipes and they're not welded together. So whoever had put this together just inserted one pipe into another, but didn't weld it.
No. Why bother?
Yeah.
Why bother?
Well, the only thing that stopped it from leaking was the water deposits that had developed over time. And eventually the water just sort of burst through.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is with most of that do-it-yourself type projects is that, you know, the people do it with the intention of saving money. But if you really look at the damage they cause, it's actually costing a lot more money to do.
Yeah.
We see it in all kind of things, whether they're building, like yesterday we were, you know, we had a, we're building stone wall. We're actually demolishing a stone wall. And the way they built it was they had no gap or no space between the structure of the house and the stone. They just kind of put the stone on the structure. So there was no way where for the humidity and the water to escape.
Okay.
And the wood was not breathing. So all the wood behind that was rotted.
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine how much money the client would have to pay. They have to demolish that stone wall. They have to take out all the exterior cladding, the plywood, the fiberboard, the Tyvek, whatever there was there. Have to disinfect, redo all the rotten wood, and then rebuild it. Mm-hmm. So it's all because someone down the line did not do their job, and they hired someone that it looks like the person that was actually building that wall did not come from Canada, meaning they build it in a way like they would have built it down in Eastern Europe where you have concrete or in Latin America. You can really see the technique is not our technique. The building code here is not made really to make the life more difficult for contractors.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's made to protect the work that the contractor do. And a lot of the contractors tend to fight that, and I don't understand it because, you know, honestly, if you understand it, it really makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And the reason we're saying that is because we reverse engineer a lot of the bad workmanship. So we see things that should have been done a certain way that were not done that way. And we understand what failed and how the code really works.
Yeah. So, yeah, it will all come down to, you know, as you talked, the difference is it's almost like wine. Vineyards, the differences in the soil, the climate, etc. You'd have to account for that when you're building. Otherwise, you run into problems. Let's go back to the phones. Hi there, Barb.
Hi there.
How can we help you on the Home Improvement Show?
Okay. So we live in a high-rise condo. We are on the 7th floor. And one evening, the lady above us on the 8th floor went to the washroom in the middle of the night, flushed the toilet, and didn't realize the toilet was overflowing all night long.
Oh, no.
Yes. And unfortunately, flooded our ceiling, and it went down all the way to the 3rd floor. But when the reno people came the next day, the ceiling was completely wet, so they cut the ceiling open, and it went into our carpets. So my question is, they never really lifted our carpets. They just waited until the carpets dried. Should they have lifted our carpets to make sure that the underpadding dried as well? Because the underpadding is rubber. All they did was wash them.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. It was toilet water. Is that a danger?
I'll tell you what, I think it's a great question. Don't go away, though, Barb, because we're up against the clock, and I know that flooding is right up your alley, Walter. So, Barb, don't go away. I'm just going to put you on hold till we come back from the traffic break. It is 9:15.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
When last you joined us, which seems like a long time ago, Barb, you were telling us that your neighbor's toilet water leaked down into your apartment, soaked the rug or soaked the carpeting, and all they did was clean it and dry it, but they didn't pull it up.
Exactly.
So, Walter, is that something they should have done?
No. It's a bit more, there's a bit more science to it than that, actually.
Okay.
And, but it's very common that we see this type of practices. Unfortunately, people do not take water as seriously as they should. To simplify it, the way you want to divide any water damage into is into three categories. Type 1 water, type 2 water, type 3 water.
Okay.
Or two, three categories. And basically what happens is type 1 or category 1 is clean water, meaning it's a pipe that bursts, it's fresh water, it's clean. There's no contaminants in the water.
Okay.
Type 2 is what you call lightly contaminated water. Example, water from a washer that overloaded, water from a roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's called type 2. So it's not severely contaminated, but it, that does bring contaminants with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then type 3 water, which is the worst type of water, sewer backups, toilet water, and so on and so forth. And if we want to look at the type 3, it's already coming in with its contaminants. It has already its own bacteria, its own viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take sewer water and you kind of analyze it, I mean, you see things like E. coli, you see things like endovirus, you see things like mold and all kind of things
mm-hmm.
that already coming in. So you can just look at it and say, oh, it's just water. It's contaminated water. It's really contaminated. So in your case, the water came down from a toilet. That means for me, it's a contaminated water. Okay. So the way we want to look at this is underpads do not just, especially, you know, you want to ask yourself the question, how much water was that on that underpad, right?
Right.
But underpad cannot be dried by washing it. What you're doing is you're actually adding more water to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
So what you want to do in a case like this is you want to lift the part of the carpet that got wet. You want to cut that part of the underpad because usually this is glued down.
Right.
The underpad is glued down to the concrete in a condo situation, especially you're on the seventh floor, so you don't have a wood structure, you have a concrete structure.
Right.
And then we want to disinfect and mechanically, and I emphasize the word mechanically, dry the slab before we put back the new underpad and the carpet. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the word disinfection is important. The word mechanical drying is important.
So mechanical dry, meaning?
Blowers, dehums.
Okay.
Anything that will really make that structure dry properly before you put the new material on. Because if it's not, mold will grow again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we don't want.
Well, they had blowers, but they never lifted the carpet.
Yeah, so these blowers were just cosmetic, unfortunately. So, you know, I mean, it's great to have the blowers, but it's more important to know how to use them. We
right.
see people just drop equipment all the time, but it's not really used in the right fashion. So,
right. So now, how do I get, you know, there's an insurance company involved here too. So how do I get them to redo it? You know, do I have to send them a lawyer's letter?
No,
how do I get
No. What, I mean, what you have more clout than you think. Okay, people, when there's an insurance company involved, there's a sense sometimes of intimidation. It should be the other way around. You are the client. You
right.
have rights.
Right.
They have obligations. You also have obligations as well, right? So the way you want to do this is very simple. You want to question the technique. So whoever was responsible, obviously this was a company that was dispatched by somebody. Now, my question to you is, was it dispatched by the condo association? Was it dispatched by the insurance company?
Well, it's the we have a an association representative who is the representative of the insurance company for the condo. It sounds complicated, but
yeah.
that works.
Okay. But that company that did the work... who brought it in? Was it the insurance company or was it that representative?
The representative.
All right. So I'm going to make it simple, and that's going to mostly go for a lot of the condo owners out there or the condo associations. It's great that you choose a company, and it's a great idea to have a company, and we do that all the time with condo associations. We have what you call emergency protocol signed up with condo associations in case they have floods or fires. In a big cat mode situation, they are on our VIP list, and we know that they are our existing clients, and we go and service them. But there's a way that you have to go through that. It's not like, okay, this is a company, they have a few blowers, a few dehumps. They can potentially have an RBQ number. In our case, we need to be accredited by the IICRC. Above and beyond the licensing of a normal contractor, we have to have corporate accreditation as well as technician accreditation and training for water damage restoration, and then applied structural drying, and then mold remediation. So many, many courses, and every course gives you accreditations.
Right.
If, if these companies do not have that, then that means they did not really pass through any of those trainings that we have learned and we are now preaching on the radio. So you can question that sometimes management company, mm-hmm. sometimes it's the condo rep or whoever, or the syndicate or whatever you want to call it, or the board, and you can tell them, fine, great, you chose this company. What's the accreditations of that company? What do they have? Are they Clean Trust approved? Are they IICRC approved? And if they're not, no, it's a no-go. That means this company does not know what they're doing in that particular domain.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So, and that's where we see the mistakes, and we see them often. Okay? That's where we see them happening time and time again. They have great intentions. They have the right machines sometimes, but they're using the wrong way. So you're paying money, and sometimes you're actually magnifying the problem. I'll give you an example. In a sewer backup, the last thing you want to use when you first intervene are blowers. That's
right.
The last thing you want to use. Why? Because you're coming into a situation where the water is extremely contaminated. You have E. coli, you have bacteria, viruses, all kind of things in that water. And then you're putting a fan and spreading it throughout the whole house.
Oh, lovely.
Okay.
So
what you do is
you
want to take out the wet material, you want to disinfect, you want to HEPA vac, you want to do all the hygienic stuff first. And then when you're nice and ready, now you're ready to mechanically dry.
Okay.
Right. But so, okay. So be that as it may, how do we go ahead? Because I have to prove in a way that all these contaminants are in that carpet.
No, you don't. What you're going to do is very simple. You're going to go back to whoever you have to go back to, whether it's the adjuster or the condo rep, and you're going to exactly explain to them what you explained to me on the wave, and you say it's not normal that nobody lifted that carpet, took a look at the underpad, dried the underpad, took out the underpad, because you can't really dry the underpad, so I don't want them to tell you that.
Right.
Disinfected or anything like that. If anything, you guys added more water by washing the carpet. So cosmetically, you took care of my problem, but not really at the core of where the problem lies.
Uh-huh.
Bart. And then let them tell you that they don't want to do it in writing, because that will protect you in the future. If you have mold, if you have issues, you already have a documented thing that you asked for it, and they did not fulfill their obligations.
Barb, you need to let us know how that goes, will you?
Yes, I will. But the only thing I want to ask you is...
Well, I hate to do this, but we're up against the clock. We've got to get to news. Thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
Thanks for your help.
Cheers. 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. Your questions for Walter Assey of Renovco here on the Home Improvement Show. And we do have a text also dealing with, perhaps not a flood situation, but something to do with water. And we'll take some of your texts as well at 514-800.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
With me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco on the other side of the desk, 514-790-0800 for your DIY questions or your home improvement questions, 514 790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, that's star 8255, 1-800-491-CJD. And you can also text in, as this this listener did, to 514-800. The last call we had was about flooding from a neighbor. This one is an interesting. I have a nephew that loves taking a bath, and he gets water all over the floor, and the water leaks downstairs into the next bathroom. How do I fix my problem?
Get rid of the nephew.
There. Problem solved.
So when it comes to water and bathrooms and these types of damages, there are new technologies today when we are building bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to depend on what the client is going to ask when you're building the bathroom. Because in essence, a bathroom can be also built like you're building a swimming pool. You can membrane the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there are ways and redundant type of products that, you know, multiple defense systems against water infiltrations. But the truth is, if you want to do it for the whole bathroom, it becomes a very costly situation.
Yeah.
So most people kind of do it in the showers. They do it on the floors. And they kind of limit it to this. And that's fine. Because typically you want to also not use and abuse anything that have a water element to it that could cause flooding. So you want to be careful when you're, you know, in the shower and what have you. But I mean, there are the little things that you look for that are the obvious things as a DIY. You want to do it yourself kind of a thing, like the, you know, the caulking, you know, the faucet plates, the mixer plates, if there's any, there's no caulking around that. Any hole that could potentially bring in the water, that's something that you could take and you should take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we see often multiple water damages that are unattended to. Meaning,
okay,
like in this case, for example, the nephew takes a shower. Every time he takes a shower, the water leaks downstairs. We go down, you go into that bathroom downstairs, and you see that it had multiple recurring water damages. We're not really doing ourselves a favor, because I guarantee that the mold is so, it's going to be so mature and so advanced that, you know, a lot more have to be done. Do not ignore water damage, as small as it may be. Drain it out of your structure. If it's in the ceiling, open the ceiling a little bit. Let the water drain out. Put a fan, if you catch it right away,
mm-hmm,
and mechanically dry it. Don't, you know, I don't like to see old damages, and, you know, you see the water stain, you see that, you know, things are starting to rot, and you're like looking the other way.
Yes.
You shouldn't do that. Okay. The other thing is, in this particular caller's case, is what is the nephew doing that is different than what she's doing, and then investigate from there. Meaning, is he putting water on the floor outside? That means a floor that probably doesn't have some type of a DITRA membrane underneath, and just, the water is just protruding through. Always remember, if you don't have the proper membraning, grout does become porous eventually when the sealer on it, mm-hmm, wears off. So there's seepage that's going to go through. It's going to get to the whatever material is behind it, whether it's drywall or cement board and what have you. So there is a way for the water to get through eventually if you don't have the proper membranes.
This texture doesn't say how old the house is, but hasn't it been a while that they now have a special gyprock or cement board for bathrooms?
They do. I mean, there are many things. Like they're the Schluter panels, which are beyond fantastic. Okay,
yeah.
They are waterproof. They are just a fabulous type of product. And again, you could put pre-sealed grout, and there's many things you could do as multiple defenses. There are the cement board, there's a fiber board,
mm-hmm,
and so on and so forth. But we don't know exactly. We don't know the age of the home, and we don't know where the water is coming from. Sometimes it's not coming from the wall. Sometimes it's just the junction between whatever base that the client have and the homeowner have and the Schluter panels or the wall.
Yeah.
That's the weakest point. So if that is, if there's something that have not been done in that area, that will cause you problems as well. So in a case like this, we want to see where the weak points are. We typically come in with moisture meters, and we see where the seepage have absorbed the most in the shower. So if it's around the shower faucet area, we know that there's a problem with that shower faucet. A, is it leaking? B, is the plate well sealed? And so on and so forth. And we go by process of elimination. The readings will kind of tell us the weakest point in that shower area is. And then from there, we kind of give our recommendations what to do.
Okay. We got a call coming in from Chris about painting and staining your deck, Chris.
Yeah, Walter.
Yeah, hi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have a wooden deck at the cottage. It was built in 2007. The issue is that some of the boards are cracked. And I'm just wondering, is it too late to stain the boards if the wood is cracked already?
Okay, that's a great question. Now, when you look inside the crack, many things come to mind, but one of them is how wide is the crack? And if you look inside the crack, do you see any wood rot from within?
A little bit, but yeah, just a little bit, yeah. It's getting sort of blackish at some parts, yeah.
Okay. Best if you replace them, but let's say you don't want to replace them for now for XYZ reason. What you would do is you will try to get the stain into the crack as much as possible in order to make sure that there's no more advanced, if you want, deterioration for the wood.
Okay.
Try to fill up the crack with plastic wood and then you stain on top of that. So that will buy you a few more years with those boards, and you don't have to replace them right away.
Okay, so you would still stain it? It's not too late to stain it?
It's never too late to stain wood, because what that does, it will protect the wood, right?
Okay.
Now, in a case where you have wood rot, I mean, eventually the wood is not going to be strong enough to do anything with it, right? Because it's going to keep on crumbling. But if you feel that, you know, it's still solid enough and the wood rot have not really taken in because the crack is new or it's not wide enough, then there are ways that you could do to kind of delay the inevitable at one point. If you feel that, you know, that crack is you know, big enough or wide enough.
But okay, now, Walter, yes. would the cracks, if the stain goes inside the cracks, it would take longer to dry?
It will take longer to dry. I mean, yes, it would, but that doesn't really matter for you because you are not really sealing anything on top, so that's not a problem at all.
Okay.
You know, it is what it is. What you want to do right now is if there's any water that came in or comes in through the cracks, you want to ensure that it does not rot that area anymore. Because don't forget, if you have treated wood, the wood is treated from the outside. So any cut in the wood or any shaving in the wood, now you are removing all of that protection.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever whatever exposed wood that you create in the process would need to be protected. You need to put, you know, the proper protection on that. So crack, in this case, it have zero protection. If, you know, there's no stain, there's no nothing. So any water that's going to come in, it's going to create some problems for you there. So,
but Walter, the wood, the board wood that was built, they're not pressure treated.
Was it cedar?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. So, okay, that's good. But wood does have to be protected at one point. So let's say it wasn't pressure treated then. The idea is when you install that wood, there is a point where you have to protect it.
Okay.
And if you don't, it will rot. And that's why we put, you know, these types of stains and products and what have you.
Okay.
Especially in cracks, you will see that if you don't attend to it, from a year to another year, the difference in the rot is just so drastic that at one point you have no choice. Your foot is going to go through it.
Okay.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
When you're staining a deck, there's a special brush. Like, you don't use a paintbrush, or do you?
No, you don't. Well, I mean, it's not really a special brush. It's what's the best application for the wood to be absorbed. So, yes, there is. But, I mean, and you see people doing it with rollers. You see them doing it with all kind of things. So there are special brushes that you should use for the wood to absorb, for the product to be absorbed better by the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Rollers sometimes they don't put enough material in the roll, so it does not protect as much. Whereas with the brush, you could go way more in detail and ensure that things are well protected as well.
All right, 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. And you can even text your questions to 514-800. We do have a question from Val about patio doors. We'll get to in a couple of moments. But
this is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
In our remaining moments with Walter Assey of Renovco, we've got a couple of texts and a call to get to. Let's start with the text. I just got my final plans for a 30 by 12 foot extension to my house. I've not gotten approval from the city of Laval yet. Is it too late to get this done this year? That's from Rob.
It's a great question. So with extensions, your main challenge is your trusses.
Okay.
Your roof trusses, that is. Because that is, without it, you know, you don't have a roof on top of your extension.
Yeah.
And it's all going to boil down to how sophisticated the design of the trusses are. Because in certain cases, certain trusses can be done by your carpenters in-house. In other cases, you would have to order them. Now, the problem with ordering them now, and you can't really order them before the city gives you the permit,
mm-hmm.
is usually these guys have about a 2 to 3 months delay if you're lucky. Now, at this late in the season, chances are they're going to have longer than that.
And you take into account the supply chain delays.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have your trusses, no matter what, do not start the extension. Like, make sure that you have at least a date that is within, you know, up until November. Even sometimes we go into December and we're closing off the area. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I want my roof to be up, my shingles to be up in nice weather, you know, decent weather, mild weather. I mean, I can take anything up to maybe 10 degrees, 12 degrees with shingles. I'm like, this is my cutoff point. Concrete, you really want to be above freezing and way above freezing. So you want to be also in comfortable temperature for the concrete to dry nicely. So you still can, and we will still start breaking, keep on breaking grounds until October-ish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Beginning October. But then, you know, that's where we cut off the point of starting an extension.
Okay.
Okay, so see for the trusses. Do wait for the city to give you the permit, because there will be times where they're going to start questioning your roof lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, I've seen cases where people would take the chance, say, oh, they're going to give it to me, I have the space and whatever. Don't forget, extensions and permits, it goes to the CCU. So there's not just, okay, what are my limitations in my property, how big my property is. There is the design aspect. Does it fit the house? Does it fit the design of the area? All it takes is one guy from the CCU does not like something about your extension, and they really can go into very boring details that makes absolutely no sense. Like, you know, we submitted the design. They started going into the sizes of the openings for windows, and they were changing it by, like, inches that did not make any difference on anything.
Yeah.
But just because there was this one guy on a power trip, and he wanted to do the certain changes. So wait for the permit and then start ordering stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I know we have a lot of callers, but it's also important that once you get the permit and now you're ready and you want to do it next year, do not wait for the spring to order your trusses. You could order them now for next spring.
Yes.
So make sure that the windows are ordered now, your trusses are ordered now. Anything that you have that needs ordering, that takes time, do that. I mean, we've ordered trusses back in January for extension that we're doing now.
And I think it makes, because you know you have it and you might pay more later on. Maybe not much.
Well,
more.
That, and then if you order it in March, you're probably going to get it in September, who again going to put you in a very tight spot when it comes to getting the job done.
Okay. Let's go to the phone. Say hello to Sheena. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, how can we help you?
I have a question. 2 years ago, we built a solarium. I have a raised bungalow, and the solarium is built about 6 to 7 feet height from the ground. It's a four-season solarium, and the post underground, they did about the cement post. On top of it, they put 6x6 post where the solarium is sitting, which is 6 feet high. I noticed there is a crack on the post, on the wooden support. Is it okay? I called the company and they said it's normal due to humidity, the wood expands and then it comes back. Is it normal or is it something to worry about?
Okay, so when we talk about cracks, we always want to see how wide the crack and how continuous the crack is. I mean, it is a wooden post, so it is load-bearing. So I want to see, is it a crack through and through? If it is through a crack through and through, I am worried. If it's a deep crack, I am worried. If it's just a superficial crack, it's fine. It's something that you have to watch, and you have to kind of make sure that it does not get any worse. But it's there's a lot of common sense involved. So if something is broken in two, that's not a crack for me. That's a structural stress, and that, you know, typically what happened is you bought a post that was already cracked and you shouldn't have, or they shouldn't have, and installed it and things got worse. Sometimes we buy 100 boards and we bring back to the store about 30 just because they're, for us, they didn't pass the quality check.
Okay.
They are unusable. So I don't know when they bought it, this, the condition of it. I don't know if underneath it something is moving. So the sonotube foundation, did they dig deep enough? Look at the sonotube foundation. If you see cracks on that as well, that means there's something that is moving.
Okay. No, the tube, they dig about 3 to 4 feet down.
No, there's not 3 to 4 feet.
Okay.
They have to have dug down below frost line. So if you tell me they dug 3 feet, it's not enough. So
I don't know, because I have a approval from the city, and the, because they gave me the architect's map, and I took it to the city. The city approved, and it was dig quite deep. That I know, but I don't know how deep. Whatever, according to the papers they have, is there a way? I don't see on top of the tube, cement tube, any cracks.
Okay, so that's good news for you. That means the foundation underneath, and not because someone like applied some city plans that the contractor is necessarily going to follow those plans. But in your case, it's a good start. We don't have any cracks on the sonotubes, and that's great. So it could just have been, like I said, a bad batch of wood. If it's not a very big crack, it's something to keep on watching and evaluating. If it is, then definitely you need to get them in again and look at that a bit more seriously.
I can see it's, when I see the crack, it's deep, like more around 1 and 1.5 inch deep. When I put my metal inside it, I could see.
Is it wide?
The deep. The wide is about less than 1/2 inch.
Less than half. So you could, can you stick like a finger through it?
No, I cannot stick a finger through it.
Okay. What I would do is I would definitely take a picture of it and send it to the contractor and make sure that you have something in writing from them that this is not an issue.
Only
because time is running out for your guarantees probably. And at one point, if you're going to call them again, I tell you, well, you're out of guarantee. So that will document that you've already done this within reasonable timing, that, you know, if this crack becomes worse, that you can have a recourse against them. But keep on watching that crack. If it's getting worse, that's not a good sign.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have, Sheena. Thanks so much for your call. Val, I'm so sorry we didn't get to your question. Get your text in earlier next week. And when Ken's here with Walter, they will hopefully answer your question. Walter, thank you so much, as always.
Always a pleasure, bud. Always a pleasure.
Walter Assey of Renovco. My name is Dan, in for Ken. I'm back tomorrow. Stay tuned for The Car Show with Lisa Christensen coming up after the 10 o'clock news.